Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
And welcome to another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Oh, happy Friday.
It's Friday,
everyone.
Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
We should do like, we're by the way, we're working on a new theme song and a bunch of different ideas, but now I'm thinking maybe we should do like a cover of that song where it's like Friday, gotta get with the bros on Friday. You know what I mean?
What happened to the chatty bros?
Yeah, we're gonna do something like that too.
I can't wait for those guys to send us their fucking song.
We have someone working on a song for us, so we'll see how it goes.
If they
ever do it,
we work in house. Evan and I refuse to work with anyone who doesn't listen to our show.
this is a cult.
Yeah. Welcome to it.
Welcome to the cult. Dude, how was your weekend? How was your life? How was everything?
It was all good. I had an idea I wanted to go before that. You ever listen to other podcasts where they like explain what the podcast is for like anyone listening for the first time? Like every episode starts where they're like, hey, like this is the podcast where we talk about whatever and this is like who we are. And I was like, we really don't do that.
Well, because we have nothing to say. What would we say? Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Chatty Bros. We are an offspring. We are a stepchild of the Chatty Broads. And what we talk about is different stuff and then also talk about the Bachelor franchise.
Yeah. And it's like, maybe, I don't know. But welcome to it. Here
welcome
we go.
Welcome to it, man. No structure. Absolute craziness.
We're so crazy.
Welcome to our brains. We're mental. It's like those memes, you know, where they're like, they throw a rock and they're like, you're insane.
That's us like, oh my God, we're talking about that. That's the show.
Dude,
buckle up.
Buckle up, dude. Get ready because it's a wild ride for you.
Broads, this season of The Bachelor is a doozy, I hear. Listen, could you listen to people talk about and dissect and analyze Clayton's season all day long? Well, if that's the case, check out Bachelor Happy Hour, which is full of exclusive interviews, episode recaps, and more. I'm sure Becca Kufrin will have some amazing insight for the remaining episodes, like the fantasy suites, the top two, the women tell all.
If you watch The Bachelor, then Bachelor Happy Hour is a must listen. And if you want to hear the person being talked about the most at that very moment in the season, you know Bachelor Happy Hour is going to have an interview with them. You can listen to Bachelor Happy Hour on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, or you can listen ad-free by subscribing to Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.
Dude, our ladies had a like birthday hangout trip.
Oh, yeah. That's what happened this weekend. They went away.
What did you do?
What did I do?
Were you dad mode? Or were you?
I had my parents had the kids because I had on Friday we prepped for USA climbing collegiate competition at the gym, and then Saturday we hosted the comp. So I had to be
you were working
be at the gym all day Friday and then all day Saturday, and then Saturday I went and hung out with some, like Saturday night hung out with some of my friends, and then
sick,
and then Sunday was all dad day.
Got it.
Yeah,
I was dad mode hard.
Yeah, just dadding it up. What'd you and Ember do?
Dude, well, we found this I posted about it, but we found this theater a theater that had like a straight up kids play place jungle gym inside the theater.
What?
So bean bags, you know, slides, tubes.
And they just had a movie going at the whole time?
It was like the main theater, and then to the right of the theater, they had built along the wall like this crazy jungle gym thing. So the way it would work was for 30 minutes before the movie starts, the kids are playing. So Ember met like two friends right away and they're playing for like 30 minutes and they're hanging out. Then the movie starts and everyone has to get off and they sit down and watch the movie. Then halfway through the movie, there's an intermission where they can go play again. And then you watch the rest of the movie and then you can play for another 20 minutes after.
So I have yet to experience the kids' movie theater experience. Yeah. I've heard it's insane.
But I think it depends on your kid. Like Ember loves movies. So she's like, honestly, it's like she's just like this. She loves it. She's locked in. And if you know Ember, you know she very rarely slows down or stops. So it's it's one of the only times in her life.
That and swimming, right?
Yeah. Swimming and movies, she's like, that's when, well, swimming, no, because then she's swimming and I have to like watch her the whole time and like swim with her. So I'm talking about the times where she's chilling.
Yeah.
Like if you go say, Ember, go play by yourself. There's some toys. She goes, cool. She's back in 13 seconds. And she's like,
did it.
She's like, hi, what are you doing? And I'm like, what?
Played with them.
Oh, dude. I go, Ember, I'm going to go use the restroom. Play with these toys. 13 seconds later. Tick, 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 tick. What are you doing? And I'm like, what? I'm going to the bathroom. She's like, okay. Comes back 20 seconds later. How much longer are you going to be in there?
The worst.
And then you're hiding. You know, you're just hiding in there. You're not even going to the bathroom anymore. You're just like chilling. But when it comes to the movies, dude, she loves it. She locks there, and that's the only time the body stops.
But are there other kids in the theater that are just going absolute ape shit?
So this is the vibe I got. So I went, for some reason, it wasn't busy. The time slot in the movie that we went to, it just wasn't busy. There was probably like eight people in the whole theater. So it was chill. But those eight kids made some good noise. So I'm thinking, you know, if this was a normal, like, big movie that just came out and there's like 100 people in there, like, it would be chaos. So I don't recommend, probably a midweek movie's good.
One of the funniest like movie experiences I had is just making me think when we went to go see, I forget which Harry Potter movie it was, but we were in high school and we went to the the premiere day that the movie came out. Not like the premiere of Harry Potter, but day one, the opening day.
Okay.
So like there's a line to get into the theater. We are all like, we're just shitty little high school kids. Like we bought like Harry Potter costumes. We were in like the cloaks, lit off our ass going in to see Harry Potter. And it was like kids and their parents everywhere. And the movie starts and I didn't realize how involved like all these scenes in the movie were going to be. But I remember the very first scene, Malfoy comes out, the whole movie theater, like all these kids are like, boo, boo. They're like throwing food at the screen. It was like this whole thing of like, we're all just gonna like shit on Malfoy. And I was like, dude, this is tight. Like, go to a bunch of movie with adults and everyone's like quiet,
right? Shh. But it was like involved. It was like clapping when the thing happens and screaming when the good guy gets beat.
It was like a big party in there of like, we all love Harry Potter, can't wait to see Harry Potter.
So you didn't grow up in a Christian household?
No.
So you didn't get to experience Broads, I want to hear you guys' thoughts because this was so crazy and so like so a part of like if you grew up in a religious household in like the early 2000s, late 90s, was at a far too young age going to see The Passion of the Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about involved, bro. Imagine seeing what would be an NC-17 level violent movie like at 13
or like 8.
Or 8. And so you're watching this actor being like murdered in the most horrific way possible. And your parents are just looking at you and like, yes, this is what this is about.
This is love.
And you're like crying and you're like,
this
and
is you're his fucked love. Up
for like 3 days. And they're like, But then the same parents are be like, you cannot watch Star Wars because it's too violent.
Yeah. Dude, I mean like, I've watched The Passion like, yeah, dude, it's not a fun. I mean, it's just, I have a hard time thinking of it as like a movie. You just like watch this guy.
It's a trauma experience.
Yeah. You just watch him get tortured, brutally tortured to death.
Yes. So during the weekend, you know, we did the movie stuff. We did like, you know, I don't know how you feel about it. When, like whenever you're just with the kiddos, like on Saturday, Sunday, like no, you know, whatever, let's say, whatever, all help's gone, school's not in, whatever. You're just you and them. Your day just becomes like, how do I keep them occupied, right? Like, you're just in the zone of like, I'm not going to really get anything done. And I just need to figure out a way to like keep them busy so that they don't revolt and, you know, have a revolt against me. And then I was having this kind of thought about like being a single dad. How do you think you do being a single dad?
I have no idea. I want to say that I would just crush it because my move would be to like, okay, you're just a mini me now and you're going to grow up really fast. I'd be like, it'd be like, There Will Be Blood. You know, when he's
when he's got the kid.
This is my son.
Right.
This is a family business. An
evil person.
And he just takes him to all the business meetings. And, like, and the kid's just in all of the meetings.
Yeah.
And no matter what conversation's being talked about, you're just like, you're in there, you're quiet, and you're just listening, observing, and learning.
Mm.
It'd be like having Ruth and Frank in there.
While they're just ripping everything to pieces.
Yeah. But I mean, single dad. I feel like the goals of like parenting, like what you're talking about, of like you're just trying to keep him occupied, I'd have a really hard time sticking to like the goals that we're achieving right now, which are like, you know, our kids watch probably like an hour and a half of TV a week.
Wow, that's really good.
And they're only allowed to watch Thomas the Train Engine, the original series, not like the new spinoff. So it's all the model trains, Zaboomafoo and Mr. Rogers. Those are the only TV shows they're allowed to watch. And if it's not one of those things, I put on construction videos, like 2 hour long construction videos on YouTube of like dump trucks just moving like an obscene amount. Just like 2 hours of dump trucks getting loaded up with dirt.
Wow.
And then Frank, like, you know, it's the kind of TV where they are literally only occupied for like maybe 7 minutes.
And they're over it.
And then they just like pick up their toys or like go outside.
That's good.
Yeah. But just, I'm like, It's also really slow paced TV. So it's like really relaxing.
It's not hyper stimulating.
No, I don't want them to like actually enjoy TV.
Got it. That's good.
Okay, broads, interrupting the bros. I think everyone pays some attention to what they're eating, but when is the last time you paid attention to what you're cooking your food in? The answer is never, maybe not often. At least that was the case for me. I used to look for the most nonstick options available because I wanted the easiest cleanup possible. But then I found out just how bad traditional nonstick pans could be for you, and I switched up real quick to Green Pan.
Okay, so here's the thing. Yes, nonstick can be convenient, but like Jess said, it can also be so bad for you because most nonstick pans are made with plastic coatings that turn toxic when they get hot. But everyone likes a nonstick pan, which is why the founders of Green Pan made the first ever ceramic nonstick cookware. It's nonstick that's non-toxic. So when you cook with ceramic, no harmful fumes are emitted in the process. Heat is conducted evenly, and you can cook with less oil or butter. And cleanup is a breeze.
So what you're saying is that it's the perfect pan.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. I actually got a set from Green Pan this past Christmas, and it changed the way that I cook, okay, and eat. I can now cook any meal in any pot or pan and not worry about what other chemicals I'm getting along with my meal. Green Pan is the best, and it's truly nonstick. Listen, I have bought many other pans that claim to be nonstick, and then they work like 25%.
Cooking eggs on them is a nightmare.
A nightmare. When I started using Green Pan, I was amazed. And I'm not great in the kitchen. And it was fantastic. It blew my mind. Okay. And also the aesthetic.
Gorgeous.
The pans are gorgeous.
Healthy cooking is about more than just the food you make. It's the products that you cook in too. So right now, Green Pan has an exclusive offer just for Chatty Broads listeners. If you go to greenpan.us and use promo code Chatty, you'll receive 30% off your entire order plus free shipping on orders of over $99. Whether you buy one pan or a whole set, that's 30% off. So head to greenpan.us and use our promo code Chatty.
So I don't care if you are Bill Gates or whoever. Time is money, baby. Time is money for everyone. So why would you waste one single second doing things that you don't need to do, like standing in line at the post office? There's really no reason to waste time at the post office ever again when you use stamps.com.
That's right. Everything you would typically do at the post office, you can now do from your own home computer using stamps.com. From basics like printing official U.S. postage and scheduling pickups to more complex tasks like comparing shipping timing and rates among different carriers, All things shipping are a breeze with the help of Stamps.com. You're even going to save money every single time because you're going to get access to discounts that you can't even get at the post office, like up to 40% off USPS rates and 76% off UPS rates.
I've used Stamps.com for so many things in the past year, like sending birthday gifts to friends and family, sending in tax documents, and of course, sending back returns from an online purchase gone wrong, okay? Whatever tasks I have, Stamps.com makes it easy and simple to complete. There's no special equipment needed, no supplies you need to order, just your home computer and a standard printer, and you'll be up and running in minutes.
Stop overpaying for shipping with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code Chatty for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click at the mic at the top of the homepage, and enter code Chatty.
Yeah. Do you feel like that takes extra work on you? Like do you feel like, because, like, you know, TV can definitely be a babysitter.
I think yes and no of, like, I think it's like your patience with, like, hearing your kids complain or, like, cry. Where it's just like, sorry, just go do something else. Go outside. Like, yeah. Go outside. There's chickens, cats. You have a rabbit now.
Do you
go play with your animals outside? Like, go do something. I don't know.
I'm curious about this because I have one, you have two. Do you feel like the two really helps with the kind of like they're entertaining themselves?
They're not dependent. Yeah, they don't look to me.
Because that's where I really struggle with Ember is like, I feel bad because it's like, you know, there's this level of like, me, I'm working, Jess is working, we have her and she does such a good job. But at the same time, there is this level of like, when you have someone else to like entertain you or to like fight with or love or, you know what I mean? There's a little bit more of like a ecosystem there versus the one like before. And I guess she was still so young, you didn't really have a lot of, like,
well, that's what I was gonna say too, is it's hard to compare because like Ruth just turned 3, so one of the things like I've been trying to be more conscientious about is connecting with her.
Yeah.
Like, so like if I'm spending my time with her, I was aware like a lot of the times it was like what you were talking about of like, I just want to make sure you're having fun and that like you're being entertained in a way, or like we're playing games. But I was also like, you can talk now. And I'm kind of like curious, like what you're thinking about stuff. So now like when I'm in the car with her, it used to just be like, oh, put on whatever's just going to keep her quiet. Now, like I won't put on music for a little while. And I'll just like, if I pick her up from somewhere, it won't just be like, oh, what'd you do? I'm like trying to get her to be like, what'd you think about that? Did you have fun doing that? Like, what don't you like? What do you like? What don't you like?
A little more next level.
A little more, dude. And once you get her going, she'll just
yap.
Dude, and it's hilarious. Like, whatever it's her perspective on stuff, half of it's like unintelligible.
Sure.
But she's got a thought and she's like really like, you know, trying to emote on this like thought and just like get it out.
Dude, Ember's at this age now where it's like, she's like she's 25.
Yeah.
She's 6, but she's 25. So it's like all her isms are no longer those isms, the 3-year-old isms where it's like, and I really like that I saw this butterfly, right? It's so innocent and beautiful. Now it's like, she'll come back from school and be like, I'll be like, how was your day? She's like, good, but not good for Jesse. And I'm like, wait, what? She's like, well, got in trouble 3, like she's like into the gossip of school and stuff, and she's like, it was good, but definitely a bad day for the teacher, or, you know, she's kind of like, I don't want to say it, but someone's struggling, you know, like she's like kind of like she's just kind of like interested now in the social dynamics, you know, so she's just a little bit like, ooh. Like
Ruth,
ooh,
is it, yeah. Ruth is very hilarious. Much in that she'll just repeat stuff, so like, remember we were having this conversation about having to kill our rooster?
Yeah.
Which we don't want to do because our rooster and the hen are like inseparable.
Okay.
They like literally are like joined at the hip as they walk through the yard.
Yeah.
And like we have new chicks. So we were trying to like, you're supposed to isolate them with like a hen at first. So we did that. And the hen like wouldn't even pay attention to the chicks. She was just like running against the cage.
She was like, I didn't say I wanted kids. I'm just like hanging out with my,
trying to get to the rooster. And the rooster was like running in circles around the cage, trying to get to her. But the problem is like roosters, when they cross a certain age, get aggressive. They get really territorial and protective. Like they'll try to spur the kids, or like they'll like beef up, like flare their stuff, like their wings at you and like charge you. Just freaking bah, kick it away. But I was like, man, like we're probably gonna have to kill this rooster. Yeah. You know, like this is like, and we're talking about it. And anyway, it's like something I don't have any issues with that. Sorry if anyone does. We eat chicken. That's what happens to chickens. Don't really feel bad about it. And we were talking about it in front of Ruth. Next day, I see Ruth out there in the yard and she's chasing the chickens around. And she's going up to the rooster and she goes, "We're going to kill you and we're going to eat you."
Oh my God. Yeah. Like just.
And I was like, do you even understand?
Like what that
like,
is?
Are you even connecting? Like when we have chicken for dinner,
no,
that it's literally
not.
That thing. Definitely not. No I know that's way. Where I'm at. Is like, you have no idea.
She's just repeating something.
Exactly. But it is hysterical to watch her just go around and be like, "We're gonna kill you and eat you." And
go oh around my and like, God!
You little psychopath.
Yeah, and the neighbors are like, "We need to move."
Oh yeah, because they're like screaming in the backyard.
"We're gonna kill you."
Yeah.
Dude, Ember's in the zone now where she's like, again, she's just so old and so smart. With like, she's like street smart. She's crafty, so she can just read anything now. Like she can understand what you're trying to say. So like, if you say, "Oh, 5 more minutes," and then it's been like, let's say 3 minutes. And she's like, "How many more minutes?" And you're like, "Still like 5. She's like, "No, but it's been 2.
It can't
so
be 5.
It can't be 5 because it's already been 2. So what is it now?" You know what I mean? That whole thing. And then like, and she also does this like, now she does like emotional manipulation.
Mm.
So she'll go.
Now she does. I thought, I mean, they always learned that have. Early. Yeah.
But she's just so aware of like the dynamics. So she'll sense when I'm getting frustrated. And then she'll just throw a, "I love you, daddy." So like after she did something that was off limits or bad or wrong and she got disciplined. And I'm like, "Ember, please stop. You need to stop." And she, fine. "Daddy, you're the best daddy ever." And I'm like, "You little," like, dude, she's just too smart. You know, like she knows like, okay, let me lighten the mood a little bit because I'm going to need to ask him a favor later. That's or like what, a treat later. Let me just kind of open the equilibrium's off. Let me bring it back down to like, dude, she kills me.
Ruth will go up to me or Becca and she'll start petting our face.
Right, right.
And she'll go, "Shh. Daddy, it's okay, daddy. It's okay, daddy. It's just a little accident, daddy. We'll clean it up."
That she did.
Yeah, that she did. That mm-hmm. makes a huge mess. She goes, "It's okay, daddy. It's just a little accident, daddy." And then give you like a kiss on the cheek.
By the way, clean like, this up because I need my thing over here made for me.
And then she's like, okay, I'm going over here now. And she gets really quiet when she talks to you.
I know if I make too much noise, I'll be involved in all this.
Bro, I've been accusing her of emotional manipulation since she was maybe like 8.5 weeks old.
They're so on it.
And Becca's like, "She's just a doll, baby. Like, she can't be emotionally manipulating." And I'm like, "Becca, she's literally crying. Like, you've said,
like, no tears are coming out."
She's crying just to, like, you literally just said she just fed. She's so full. If she feeds anymore, she's going to be throwing up. But like, that's all she wants. And she's just crying to have it. It's right. Like, I get it's comforting, but also like, she's doing it so that you will come in and do that. And I was like, that's literally like, you've said it yourself. She doesn't need it. She's manipulating
right.
you
right.
to go in and get this when you don't even want to do
she's
it.
Like Sarah, when she's crying and there's no tears and you're like, "Wait, where are the tears?"
Yeah.
Clayton's like, "I don't believe you.
I don't believe
We're
you.
Like, we don't believe you guys." They're just like, it's bizarre to see the transition from like just sweetness to like sweet, but also like aware of the dynamic that is going on.
When you see
around.
They have an agenda.
Yeah, when you see they're like, trying to achieve something and they're not going about it the basic way. Like when they're 2 or 3, it's just like, "I want this. Why don't you give this to me? Wah."
And then
but when it's like they get older, they're like, "Okay, well, that doesn't work. So let me strike deals and let me try to see if I can do like 2 nice things to get the one thing I want that he doesn't want to give me." You know, it's like
there's also an age like right where Ruth's at is the age where you're like, they stop listening to no.
Yeah.
And, like, they just wait enough. For you to turn your back. And then you see them and they're like 6 feet up.
Right.
Like in the cabinets trying to get exactly what you said they can't have.
Yeah.
And then you yell at them and it's like, well, you can't really yell at them because right. of, you know, it's like.
And we taught them.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do in our
but
lives.
Now she's at that age where it's like, she realizes that she can't just do that. So now she has to go like get crafty about what, yeah. how she's going to go about getting you to give her what she wants when you already said she can't have it.
This is what they didn't tell you about having kids. Was the like, they tell you about the diapers, they tell you about the money, they tell you about the work, the schoolwork, but what they didn't tell you is that you're actually living with another human that like is aware of the dynamic and has the mental fortitude and power to like you have to go to battle with if they are disagreeing you.
Oh, you're at war.
You're at war.
You're at war with your child.
And they're the cutest, funnest things in the world, and they know it.
For yeah, exactly. And then for like 20 years, you're just at war with them.
Well, that's the common enemy.
Yeah.
We don't be just talking
and
about the common enemy.
And as we continue, that period of time where you're at war gets longer.
Yeah.
Because our kids get more and more dependent because they're just getting softer and weaker.
I like how you're saying that, like we were like, you know, in the fields, like.
Bro, we were expected to be out of the house and not returning at 18.
Sure.
Literally, the like conversation now is 25. Like, what is that? When the hell did that happen?
Things are more expensive.
Here in LA.
That's true. Like,
not anywhere else.
But like, that's another thing too. Like, our parents could buy a house. It was like 6 bedrooms for like $150,000. Now, like, that house is $3 million. It's like, we can't, there's big expectations completely different.
That concept of like, what you're looking at, like, I mean, and even in Long Beach, when I'm looking at like what houses are going for,
it's just
for like six, the like now it's like the starting price for listing a house is like $640,000.
Oh, and that's like for a condo,
2 bedroom, 1 bath, 675 square feet
condo.
This is a house, like standalone.
And that's Long Beach. Long Beach for the longest time was like a place to get a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like,
that is a deal,
right? But I'm saying like, that place 4 miles up north of you in Manhattan Beach is $2 million.
Totally.
You know what I mean? It's just crazy.
And if you go out to like Altadena, you get an acreage.
Dude, did you hear about that guy that, speaking of money, did you hear about that guy that won the lottery twice in 3 years?
No.
Yeah. His quote was, I'm still trying to spend the first $10 million.
What do you mean still trying?
Like he got a lottery ticket for like a couple years ago and he won $10 million and then he did it again like a week ago.
I could literally spend $10 million
tomorrow
so fast. Not maybe, even tomorrow. Give it to me right now. I'll
tonight
have it
by
gone.
Tomorrow morning it's gone.
Before this podcast, while we're recording, I'll have spent it.
If you won the lottery, because there's obviously different types. Like he won the $10 million. There's like the $250 million.
And I don't mean? I don't mean also I don't mean just like buying one big extravagant.
No, you mean like spreading
you
it
give
out.
Me a list. Be like, oh, you got to buy 1,000 things.
Well, spend okay.
$10 million.
Right.
I'll do
let's
it.
Say,
no problem.
Let's say right now, let's each do this.
Okay.
We buy a lottery ticket. We scratch it off.
Okay.
$20 million. $10 million each.
Mm-hmm.
No, let's make it a little more.
You're not allowed to buy a house.
$50 million each.
You're not allowed to buy
you
a house.
You can buy anything you want. $50 million. It's $100 million. We split it down the middle. What do you do with your 50?
Well, this is no taxes, right? We just, you get the $50 million.
Yeah, like we just for, the, sake okay, of the, for the sake of the thing, it's $50 million in cash, boom.
$50 million's mine.
Yeah. Here we go.
Here we go. Okay. Okay, so this is where it gets interesting.
Okay.
This is where it gets interesting. The okay, we're gonna open up a few different accounts. Okay.
Accounts.
We're going to get in a few different
Swiss
accounts.
Banks.
We're talking like with that kind of money here, we're talking like private, we're talking private security interests. We're looking, okay. I'm looking at space. We're looking at this
we're
stuff.
Looking
I'm
looking at space.
I'm looking
we're
at
looking
like,
into space.
I'm looking at investing into whatever Bill Gates is investing in. We're looking at magnetic launch systems. I'm going to be talking about that stuff. I'm like, what's space trade going to look like? I'm going to invest in whoever's going to commodify
this
the space
colonies.
This
isn't 500 billion. This is 50 million.
Okay. Part of it's going to go into something
looking
like that.
Space.
Part of it's going to go into something like that. I'm going to buy a sick watch. I'm
oh,
gonna
what
get,
kind of watch you
I don't
get?
Actually know if I want to watch, but I'll think about it. Maybe think about some chains. I don't know what it is, but chains are just hilarious to me. I think
but
like,
and I know you're
not,
not
like
a watch
big
guy,
pendant
though.
Chain. Well, I
like
do,
you don't like this watch that I have.
I
you
like
think
watches,
this is lame and douchey.
Breaking,
you like leather watches.
I do like a leather strap, but I keep breaking my watches. That's one reason I don't wear them.
So we're already off the watch.
Yeah, but I've got some serious. I'd do some like some business investments. I'd if I had $50 million, I'd probably spend 40 of it smartly, and then I'd just be like $10 million boys trip to Vegas. Let's go.
$10 million boys trip.
Who knows, dude? Like, what? That's how you go to Vegas.
Hell of a trip.
You don't want to go to Vegas. I mean, if you want to spend a lot of money really fast,
yeah,
go to Vegas.
Yeah, because then you can gamble. You can do. $20,000 hand.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right,
yeah.
Right,
and
right,
you're
right,
obviously,
right.
If you have that kind of money, you're not going to be like, oh, I want to find. You don't go in and be like, go to Harrow's and be like, where's a $5 blackjack? It's before five. I know there's a $5 blackjack.
You're only
table.
Doing high roller tables.
No, you're going to be like, oh, I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden, you're going to be like, well, I've literally been in Vegas for 17 minutes.
I've spent $850,000.
Yeah, I played eight hands of blackjack. My first cocktail is in here, and I'm like $200,000 down.
Right.
Like, what's happening?
But you know what'd be hilarious though is if you do all that and then you make 10 million last minute, so now you're up 10 million, you're 20 million, you walk away, and you're like, oh shit, now I didn't spend it.
Dude, we sat. So Becca and I were in Reno, and I was like, we didn't play any tables when we went to that restaurant for her birthday, but. Because she was feeling ill, we were going to, but in the airport on the way out, I was like, we have to go and play like electronic blackjack.
Right, you just got to do it.
And I was like, I'll make money like comparatively. I was like, I'm gonna put $20 in, and in you're betting quarters.
Yeah,
I had $40 in like fucking 10 minutes.
Did you keep playing or did you cut out?
I got up and went to the bathroom.
She lost it.
And let Beck, she fucking lost all of it, dude. She was down. You're playing a quarter a hand.
And she lost it all.
In the time that I walked like four gates down. So like, this is not a long walk. It's literally 2.5 minutes.
Right.
Went and peed, washed my hands.
Money's gone.
Come out. She's got like $7. And I was like, what did you do? And then she's like, you got to get, I was like, cash out. We go to a different machine.
Right.
That's how you got to do it. You got to switch the machines. Yeah, and they get smart.
I got us back up to even.
And I was like, we're out of here, dude. Like you're like the last, you're the last person I'm taking to fucking Vegas. Are you kidding me?
That's funny.
Like, what are you doing? This is a tried and true system.
You don't play my money.
You don't play blackjack like that. You play, there's rules to blackjack.
You were playing with like a dealer or with like a thing?
It was just a little computer.
Oh, a computer blackjack, got it.
But the computers reward you if you know like what the rules of blackjack are.
Yeah, normal, like when to hit. Yeah,
which is like, yeah, exactly. And it's a lot of the times it's like
deceptive. Does she just not know the game of blackjack?
No. Well, she does in the sense of like, you want to get 21.
She knows what 21 is, yeah.
Yeah, but it was like, and like the idea of like ace can be 11 or 1. It's that
it's like,
stuff.
Okay, I have
most
16,
people
do
aren't
I
good
hit
at that.
That kind of stuff. Yeah, right.
Well, it's
right.
Like, oh, dealer's showing 7 and you have 15. Do you hit?
Right.
It's like, actually, odds are you just stay right there.
Right, exactly.
You just
right.
Stay there and let them bust.
And if, well, the hard thing though, I will say about the computer ones is that like, you don't know if it's completely rigged, right? Because it is just a computer. So it can't, versus like one-on-one with the dealer, you can at least just know it's like straight up to
That's
some extent.
That's why you have to know when to like, when there's too much of a pattern, you just go and switch machines.
Yeah.
But for the first like 10 minutes, if you play by blackjack rules, mm-hmm. like you can buy one of those little blackjack cards in Vegas, or you can just look up online of like statistically what you're supposed to do in every single scenario in blackjack. And what's amazing about Vegas and like the odds of blackjack, you can sit at the table with that card and the dealer can deal you, and you can literally be like, I have 13, the dealer has this, statistically I'm supposed to do this, and literally just do that.
Right.
That's not cheating, but it gives you the best odds. If you do that on the computer ones, I swear to God, for like the first 10 minutes, it just rewards you. And it's like, oh yeah, here's how you play.
Got it.
Because they're supposed to be like, there's a table etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
On that table, players, like if you're not playing at a full table of people you know really well and you just sit down at a blackjack table and just start fucking doing whatever,
yeah,
and you're not playing as like a team of people versus the dealer, like yeah. Versus the house, people get super pissed at you,
right?
And will like, you know, want you to get up, and they'll sure. Be like, it's pretty aggressive because they're playing for money, they really care about it,
right?
You're just trying to have a good time.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, you hit on that. Like you hit on 15 when they're showing something
they're
like
pissed.
Oh my God. Because you're taking their
you're
card.
You're ruining the vibe. Yeah.
So anyway, my passive unproven life experience theory is that the computers will reward you. And if you think that like earning $20 in 10 minutes is well worth your time, like I do, because I think about how that equates to an hourly pay. Like I earn $20 in 10 minutes. That means I'm earning, you know, you multiply that by 6, I just earn $120
so
an
not,
hour.
You're not a degenerate then in Vegas. You're very practical.
Dude. I'm extremely
like,
practical.
You go to like
Vegas.
A blackjack table and you win $200. You're like, oh, fantastic. There's dinner and then we're good. And then you're like,
Vegas,
it's all an
for
equation
me,
for you.
Vegas for me is not fun when you care.
Okay.
You have to set aside like a specific allotment of money. And when you just go like, this money is not money anymore. This is just like tickets. And I'm going to go play these games. But like winning it, it's not like, oh my gosh, like if I go with $500 and I've been up like well over what I set out with.
Yeah.
And lost all of it, right. Which I also think is like kind of fun.
That's the journey, right? You don't go like, that's generally the journey of the whole process, yeah. Is the emotional highs and lows.
But when you get married to the like, it's only in about, like, dude, if you have $500 and all of a sudden you have like $2,000 and all of a sudden you're just like, oh my gosh, like I have this $2,000 now. And all of a sudden, like you can't lose any of it.
But that's the vibe I'm getting from you, that you're like that. That once you win the money, you're like, I'm out, because then that's my money for my trip. And that's, you know what I mean? Versus like, I feel like the more of the classic gambler is like, you end up with nothing because you got greedy. You went with the process. You got drunk. You know what I mean? You kept enjoying the process, the, as opposed to like, I am now practically getting out with my money.
The,
you know,
gambler,
what I mean?
In my mind is the, like, when you start digging down where you're like, I said that I was only going to spend $500 and now you're withdrawing like another 200 and then you make that 500 back. Like you say, you break even and then you're like, okay, I did that once. Let's do that again. I'm like, that's when that like starts to become like somewhat of a sick cycle. For me, it's like you just have your like, I mean, it's not about like, oh, if I'm winning, I want to get up and walk away. But I'm like, there's also, if you are up, you're doing something really wrong, like insanely wrong, if you just lose it that quick.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Oh, sure.
If you want to go play roulette, like that's fine. But like, I was just sort of like, what, we just earned all that together. You saw what we were doing.
Yeah.
How did you just suddenly take over and crash this plane?
Yeah.
In like no time at all. Like what happened? How fast were you just playing hands?
Right.
That's where I get like confused. Mm. And it depends on the game, because I'm also like, part of it is like, it is expensive. So it's like, you have to have the freedom to like know that you don't play every hand. Like if you're sitting at a blackjack table, there's no rule to saying you have to play every single round.
Gambling
was great. You can just chill. You know what Vegas is about? Free alcohol.
And cheap rooms.
Free alcohol and cheap rooms. So if you're going to spend, this is how I think about it. If I'm going to go spend $20 in Vegas, I'm going to get at least 3 cocktails before that $20 is gone.
So it's all kind of like I'm saying, it's all kind of a part of
there's
the deal.
There's an exchange value in there.
Well, there you go. Okay, so a boys Vegas trip would be a part of it.
That'd be a big part of it.
If I
extravagant.
Extravagant.
Yeah, let's get back on topic. This is about spending $10 million.
Yeah.
No, or $50 million.
Yeah. Okay, so for me,
I wasn't prepared. So you have to you have all this time.
Oh, I wasn't prepared on this. I just,
well, yeah, but you had all this time to prepare.
No, I mean, if I got $50 million, the first thing I would do,
$50 million. Yeah. Dollars.
The first thing I would do is rent an insane private jet.
Mm-hmm.
Like the super nice one, over the top nice one.
G11.
Sure.
I don't even know if that's
G48.
Real. Spaceship. Okay. Bezos's spaceship.
Yeah, I'd rent the spaceship. I'd call 7 to 10 of like the closest people in my life who I just want to spend the time with. I rent the most insane house. In like the most, on like an island.
Mm-hmm.
And we fly out to the island and we just have the most over the top trip ever. For a while too, like weeks, like a month maybe.
Safari.
Just the most insane, sick thing ever. Like just live like a billionaire. Charter an unbelievable yacht to cruise around. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like $1 million trip. You know what I mean? Just unbelievable. While I'm there, game planning what to do with the rest of the money. So, like, we have the conversations at dinner, like, well, what should we do with this? And then it probably break down from there, like, once I came back, buy, like, my dream house. So, a place where I want to live, where I'm just kind of, like, done. I don't have to think about housing anymore. And, like, I want to be here. Make sure that, like, Ember's school is good. You know what I mean? Make sure that she's in a good spot.
That's considerate.
Make sure that we're just, like on that might even be, honestly, like, create a school. Like, I've thought about this, like, create a school for Ember where it's like you find 15, 20 kids who are like in the same kind of world she's in, the same interests and the same, and then like hire a teacher and like make sure they're really like cared for in a way that's like custom, where it's like, we're going to identify your strengths and we're not going to try to feed, you know, push you into the system and like stuff like that. I don't know, just experiment with that kind of thing. So like set up our life to where it's like really just like set for like the next steps of whatever. And then it would be like, then it would be kind of normal from there. It'd be like, give some. Then it would be like, invest a good chunk, right? And maybe live up, maybe find an amount that I can just live off of, like the, like I can like take 10% of it and then be like, okay, cool, that's what we live off of. And then invest another chunk where it's like, okay, cool, we're building businesses, we're doing things like that. Like I said, humanitarian stuff, take care of like family and people who are like, you know.
Okay, this is all just got super lame.
No, I want to take it back to
like, let's call Mike Tyson and be like, Mike Tyson, how do I blow a fortune overnight? I'm getting there.
So then like, that's a good chunk, you know, that's like half.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because I'm not buying a $30 million house. I'm just buying like buying like a 5-bedroom house that I really like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then.
But it's like sick.
And then it's like, have a good chunk where it's like, cool, for the next couple of years, we can just do insane stuff.
But like, that's too long. I thought this was about spending it like ASAP.
No. I'm saying what would you do if you got $50 million? I'm saying, because then I'd want to know if I burned it all quick, it would be the funnest quick ever. And then I'd be like left with a hole in my like soul. Cause I'd be like, oh my God, now it's all gone. But I would try to find a way to be like, I'd want to like have on retainer, like an adventure guide to where it's like, okay, cool. Like this guy once a month takes us somewhere and we do some insane shit. So like, I just text him and go, hey, I need a boys trip, put it together. And it needs to be insane. And it can't be in America. And he goes, boom, and he like puts together, it's like a concierge to the world. Like, or me and my lady want to get out of town for a week. What, hook it up. And he's just like, oh, okay, you're going to Barbados and you're doing this and we have this set up for you.
I'd want to get into like producing a movie. Be like, let's produce a movie.
There you go.
That's a really good way to just blow a shitload
of money. I want to write a movie and make one. Cool. I got the writers for you. We got the thing.
Okay, sick. What's your movie idea? Be like, okay, it's a space opera.
Right.
Exactly. This is, and the Ninja Turtles are in space, actually. And the Ninja, we're going to have a crossover, universe crossover. It's gonna Ninja Turtles meet the Power Rangers, and they have to save the universe. Well, from Frieza.
What's funny about that is like what rich guys do in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Where they have a bunch of money and then they're like, I want to make a movie, man. And that's how cult movies are
made.
They're
like, listen, it would be like Jurassic Park was awesome, but what was missing from Jurassic Park for me was Indiana Jones.
We're angels.
Angels and Indiana.
And magic. And Indiana Jones. Yeah, it's just like, what? What's Harrison Ford doing? Call him.
Yeah, call him right now. He's still acting, right?
I mean, your dad's worked for guys like that. It's like weird billionaires who are like, I want to make a movie. And you're like, well, okay.
My dad has... it's just rare in Hollywood. He has this thing called integrity. So,
okay, sorry.
Excuse me, Evan.
I figured there was a prize for
my
everything.
My dad was a strike leader during the writer's strike.
I figured there was a prize for everything.
I would be really interested. I wish you could look up like a play-by-play of like how these guys like MC Hammer, like what did they do?
To lose all their money.
Well, I know when you look at it, it's like
Mike Tyson lost. He had like $500 million.
Dude,
he's done it
numerous times. Yeah.
But he was like buying tigers and shit. Like,
it's also crazy. He's living in Vegas. There's no income tax. So he just got, if he wins the fight, he gets $300 million. He has that money.
I think the point of the story is it's really easy to like, that's why people like win lottery and then like 3 years later, they're broke.
You know what actually like, does it is boys trips. Yeah, it's boys trips actually boys when trips. You look at like when you look at like what these guys did, it was like, oh, if you're gonna buy like a $20,000 Rolex, you bought one for all your, yeah, like your 10 buddies in your
and
posse,
now you're 200 300
and then you want to buy a Lambo, you buy everybody one because you can't be the only one with it because it's not fun if, right, many of your friends have a Lambo,
your friends
as well
don't have the money.
Yeah, and then you got an all street race and do dumb shit with your friends. Yeah, that's like how you blow money.
All right, broads, interrupting the bros one more time. You know what they say? Variety is the spice of life. And my God, that has never been more true than when it's applied to working out. Living in Los Angeles, I've gone through so many phases of my fitness journey. There was, of course, the Pilates phase. There was the gym phase. There was the yoga phase. There was even a running phase, although one was the shortest and that was the running. Okay, but without fail, I always would get bored after a few weeks of each workout. But ever since I started working out with the Peloton app in the Peloton, that doesn't happen anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's because Peloton has literally every single type of workout available on their platform. So if you thought Peloton was only cycling classes, you're so wrong. You can try out so many other types of movement like bar, strength classes, yoga. You can even try their newest discipline, which is boxing. Dude, I love, like I've said before, their guided runs that you don't need a treadmill for. Then they also have treadmill, like runs, walks, treadmill hikes even. Dude, there's so much. And like their floor strength routines. I love them. I love them. Peloton's great, even if you don't have a gym at your disposal and you're just working out from home. And I also like to alternate between yoga and HIIT classes, and each day is different. So I really look forward to my workouts.
One of the best things about Peloton is not only are there tons of options for the workout type, there are also tons of options for the workout time. It doesn't matter if you have 15 minutes or 75 minutes. There are so many options to choose from, so you can get a good sweat in.
For a limited time, try the Peloton app for free for 2 months, then $12.99 a month after. New members only. Visit onepeloton.com/app to learn more. That's 2 months free at onepeloton.com.
That's what's so weird to me when you hear about like billionaires who make a bunch of money and then they're like proud about the fact that they don't change their lifestyle and they still live in their like old house and they're kind of
like the Google guys still drive like the 80s Volvo.
Or Bezos back in the day, he drove like a Civic until his company was worth like 15 billion. And then like,
it's like now it feels safe to upgrade.
What's his name? Berkshire Hathaway guy, the Warren Buffett, he still lives in his house that he bought in 1952. It's like a 3-bedroom, 2-bath in Ohio or whatever. It's kind of like, why are you collecting all this money? What's the point?
I know, right? I enjoy the practical aspects of a reasonably sized house, though. Mm. I don't want to have... I think it's insane to have such a large house where suddenly you are creating jobs for people because your ego needed that house.
But then you're creating jobs. Bleeding, that's pretty cool.
Sort of. If it's like... Job creation. But then... The problem is your house becomes a workplace for other people.
It's a compound.
So it's just like someone else's office. You know, like if you have to have like a full staff of people, you're never really alone in your house and nothing's private. Mm. And you don't like get those moments of like escape, which I mean is not so different than having kids and someone waiting for you at home. Work just becomes your escape from that entire right, or situation. The bathroom.
You're like, I just gotta, you don't even have to.
But I do am like, I'm wildly uncomfortable if I were to have like staff around me be like sitting outside and then all of a sudden your gardeners show up or like this person just like, you forgot that they're scheduled to clean the pool.
Right.
And you're like, I wasn't planning on the pool guy coming today. I was just like really in this like zen moment. And now you're like, well, I'm in your, I own this $7 million house, right. But now I'm in your space. Like, excuse me.
Which in Venice is a 2-bedroom, 2-bath.
And he's like, I never want to be in a position where I'm like apologizing for people who like are working for me to make my environment more enjoyable. I'm like, I don't want that.
It's funny because we've both been around celebrities, and it's funny when you see celebrities because that's what their life's like. Like,
yes.
Celebrities don't go anywhere without a team. Like, you'll never see a famous actor, actress. You'll never see musicians especially.
But musicians, like, all the people I work with,
it's like they come in and there's 4 people with them at all times.
Actors.
It's like a person who does like fashion stuff, the person who takes care of their personal assisting stuff, the person who takes care of their car. But it's like there's 4 to 5 people at all times working, living in their house, working with them nonstop. Like, are you good? Do you have your water? Are you okay? Cool. Make sure you get your lunch. Like, they're just used to being waited on at all times.
I really think that's more musician thing.
Okay. See, I'm like, not around the actor. I'm around the music.
Actor
people.
Stuff I've seen are like
more mellow.
Well, yeah, way more so. Like, they're just on the phone all the time. Like, they'll be dealing with, like, you know, I haven't seen it as much as like when I've been around musicians of like full blown, like, you never not have your photographer, your
stylist,
the manager who's like the TM, the tour manager. Mm-hmm. That ends up being like these crazy familial relationships where like those three, the photographer / videographer, the tour manager, and the artist are like an inseparable trio.
And
that's also like what makes everything actually happen.
They're always keeping you from making mistakes. They're always completely like the ones that are like shielding you.
Like literally shield, like, yes, that's exactly. And keeping your word.
Yeah.
Being like, you said you were going
to
be here.
You have to go to this thing.
You
yeah.
have and to like, do this.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Now I kind of like that idea. It'll be like, just someone waiting on me all the time.
That's totally different than being like, the pool guy's here and you can't have pool party time anymore.
How sick would it be, though, if you could be like, I'm hungry. Greg, fish sounds good.
I think it, dude.
You
I'm
have
like,
to go get it for me.
It Holy removes. Shit, I mean, like, it's...
It's definitely not healthy for your brain, that's for sure.
No. And I don't think it's even healthy for, like, enjoying stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's like, you know, like my favorite meals, like you can go to like an insane sit down restaurant or whatever, like have the best chef in the entire world cook a meal for you. It'd be like extravagant. It'd be a really cool experience. Have it be like really good, you know, whatever, it tastes good. The best meals for me still are like on a backpacking trip.
Sure. Yeah.
Because like, I just like, walked.
It was hard too. It took some effort.
I just walked like 14 miles and now I'm going to fucking make this like shitty fucking thing of like beans and rice, like dehydrated beans and rice, and throw like a bunch of butter and like, you know, salt in it, and then and some cheese, and you sit and eat it and you're like, oh my God.
And I think that goes back to the lottery thing where it's like after like 6 months, you'd be like kind of bored. Like I've kind of done all the trips. I've done all the crazy stuff.
Let's go back to Gap.
I kind of miss like life
pants.
Being fun, you know? And that's what I tell myself when I don't win the lottery.
I'd be like, let's go back, you know?
Speaking of desensitized, we should get into this episode.
Oh.
Talk about a guy that's just, you know, being courted. And he won the dating lottery. He's just being courted and pursued by everyone. What were your thoughts on the episode? I mean, we had that. This is hometowns, everybody. So it's like the family meets.
Hometowns is always boring.
It's definitely, unless there's like a crazy family member that does some crazy shit. It's always a little bit like.
Which there are some good family members in this, but.
Who was your favorite family member?
I really liked Serena. Is it Serena? Serene's brother.
Yes.
And
protective brother,
Florida girl's dad,
dude. The dad was great.
That was amazing.
I don't like none of this. Like,
I'm not. This is what I'm saying.
Like, I'm old school. Here,
what was he saying? He had some
He's
term.
Like, I'm gonna if I talk to Rachel and she likes you, I'm gonna pat you on the arm. And
that was
know.
I love that. Like, I'm gonna shake your hand and pat you on
like,
the arm.
That means you're good on my book. Like, yeah. I'm not gonna say hey, I approve. I'm not gonna give you a hug. I'm just gonna give you a little pat.
So he reminded me of one of my best friends that's coming to visit this weekend for this bachelor party. Mm. It reminded me of my buddy Eric. He's from Massachusetts, but it was like that in the first interview when he's like explaining like how out of control he is.
Yeah.
When he's like, oh, he goes, I'm like, you know, she had a boyfriend and they got in an argument. And I asked her, I said, you want me to go beat him up?
Yeah, it's very,
and
it's,
I was like,
it's very
wow,
like,
wow, you're so scary.
Yeah, no, it's very like, unnecessarily like alpha. It's just like, bro, like just chill.
What did he say? What's the first thing he said to Clayton? Clayton sat down. He's like, I don't like you.
Well, no, I don't know if he said that, but it was like everyone in the house said he doesn't like anybody.
But yeah, he doesn't like anybody. What would you do? What would you do going into that energy?
He said, you have to prove to me like why I should like you. Like that was what he said in the interview. And it was just like, wow, what a way to meet someone.
What would you do? I would love to see someone just like, if some dad wanted to come out and be a hard ass on that, I would love to see a bachelor be like, we throw down right now.
Be like, honestly, let's fight.
Honestly, like if that's what it takes, if that's what you want to see, like fucking jump, dude. Jump, old man. Come at me. Let's see what happens. And just challenge the dad. And just be like, cameraman would be like, what is going on? Like this whole thing. They would love it. I would love to see a bastard just come on and be like, I will knock your old ass out. Let's go. Let's go out front right now. Let's go in front of bring your daughter out there. Bring your wife out there. Let's go out in the street. Call the neighbors. Let's make a spectacle. And just see what they do. Just be like, cool. Like
set a mat up.
Just go fully like, be like, I've been
bring
on this
in
show.
Boxing gloves.
I've been on this show going crazy for like how many weeks.
Please
I don't need
punch
this
me.
Shit right now. Yeah, just
honestly,
do it.
I have a weird kind of like sick love for people that rage.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I see people like road rage, it actually does the opposite effect to me than make me angry. It actually does. I start laughing, which doesn't go well because people that gets me more mad. But like anytime I'm in a situation where someone is like very angry for no good reason, so it's like Clayton, if this guy was like super mad at Clayton, like Clayton hasn't done anything yet to like cause him to be mad yet. So anytime I'm in a place where someone's freaking out, like, you know, let's say you accidentally cut someone off in line at a restaurant and you didn't know they were there, and the person goes, excuse me, you know, that whole thing, I immediately start laughing because that's just like, holy shit. Like, you're so mad about something so hilariously small that like you're losing your mind. So I always just do stuff like, it's all good. You okay? You know, and then they just lose it. But like, so for me, like, I think if I was having to walk into that environment, I would just be laughing and I would just be like, hey, like,
that's so...
I would just say stuff like, you're scary. You know, I just like, I'd say shit like that just to like, be like, you know that this is kind of silly, that's right? So that you're funny. Like trying to be scary right now. Cause it's like, listen, like we all know Clayton, I mean, Clayton's huge.
Clayton's enormous.
He's like 6'5", 250 muscle. Oh, yeah, and so it's like dad, a little bit like dad's like, what are you going to do? Like, hey man,
that's
chill.
My point. That's sort of my point. It's like, bro, you're going to literally like try to intimidate Clayton right now. Like, what is your goal? What's your end goal
like
from this?
A mountain.
Yes. I mean, he's like a teddy bear of a mountain, but like he is still nonetheless. Huge. Yeah, he's massive. But that's what, it's so funny you said that. My reaction isn't to go aggro. I go into like stern dad mode.
So you would, like, you would stern dad him back.
Oh, I'm just like, I would be like, I was just thinking of your store idea. Like when I've been in the store with people where I'm like, you're behaving inappropriately.
Really? You dad him.
Oh, like shame. Into just like, what is wrong with you? And to like, you do not act like, go outside.
Yeah.
And that's immediately where I go to is like, in like straight to like, from right down here, there's no in between. It's immediately like you're grounded.
Right.
That's like my go. That's sort of how I handle those situations.
Got it.
Doesn't matter who it is. I'm like, it comes out before I've even had time to consider like what's going on.
You discipline them.
Just immediately into like, that is problematic and that is not how you handle these situations, right. And that is rude behavior and I do not tolerate rude behavior.
And you are going to get a timeout.
Yeah, and that like, is what? Just, we're going outside. This is not, you need to go take a big deep breath outside right now.
Yeah.
You march yourself out that door. Think about you what you did. You tell the
dad that, he's like, I don't know, like I'll give you a pat on it. I mean,
dude, if this is my thing, it'd be like, what are you trying to prove?
I think it's kind of like a way, obviously like there's some emotional struggle there, so instead of him being able to just like be real and talk about like maybe some of his nervousness, well, like, and his frustration, he was
also like,
I'm scary, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's definitely like at a like a very he, like
every scene he was like,
right,
I don't like people,
but it's really just, it's very sensitive. Like you can actually tell that he's actually like extremely sensitive, and that like the only reason why you would be so, you have to prove to me you like, is because you're really scared and really sensitive. So it's like, you know, he's one of those guys that like he has two drinks and you start talking about like college and he starts bawling his eyes out.
Oh, he's emotional. Dude, when his daughter, when she gets in there and she's like, I was just really worried that you were going to be mean to him, daddy. And he's like, all that matters to me is that you like him.
Exactly.
If you like him, I'm going to go out there. He's going to get my approval.
He's just the sweetest guy.
She's like, you don't like anybody. He's like, it's true. I don't like anybody.
And he's like, that's not true. You probably like most people, but you're afraid to look soft or something.
Not
like
at
that.
All.
Yeah.
But that's like, you know, I think of other episodes. Go back to my favorite Bachelor of our time. Go back to Ari Leindyke. He goes and meets, have you ever seen this?
I don't know.
He meets Lauren's dad. I don't know why I have such a vivid memory of their season, but he meets Lauren's dad and his dad's like her dad's ex-military, like, fucking West Point type shit.
Oh, wow.
And her dad's literally like, if I don't like him, like, you know, and her dad is like, you tell like he's not kidding. It was like one of them, like, okay, this is like sort of an intimidating thing. He walks in, total opposite.
Sweet, nice.
He's like, oh my gosh, like you like the same things I like. Like, oh my God, like, this is awesome. They're just straight buddy buddy. Immediate, there was no like telling the camera, telling the producers, like, I'm going to be a hard ass. I'm going to whoop his ass. I'm going to do all this. And it's like, no, you're not.
So then what would be
the moment?
What would be the scariest parent, you know, to deal with? Like, what attitude would be the most intimidating?
I think the most intimidating for me would just be the, like, someone who doesn't, like, anyone who's making, like, anyone who's trying to tell you to like really show like how intimidating they are, that shit would freak me out. I mean, that wouldn't freak me out. The dad who like doesn't even want to talk to you. The dad who's like, whatever, I don't fucking care. Like, that is what would freak me out a lot more. And not one who says that, not like someone who's throwing like, I don't want to participate. The dad who's just like, no, like, I'm literally not going to talk to you. Because at this point, you're not anything, you're not anyone. to this. And that's where it's like, what's even scarier is when it's like, if the daughter like starts crying or the wife, like everyone starts throwing a fit and the dad's just like not bending, you get this like weird dynamic that's also in that of like, those are the, them's the rules. You know, like dad doesn't want to do it, or like moms are scary to me too. But it's like that, the silent, just like take a look at you and just be like, no.
Yeah.
Like I'm not talking to you. That would be so much harder, because then you'd be like really, you'd suddenly need to be like dating the dad and be like, all of a sudden that approval actually really does matter. Most of these guys, like when you see, oh, you've seen 100 tough dads on these shows, yeah. They cave the moment that the guy's like, yeah, your daughter has ambition and like, I really respect that. And I think it's really cool. And they're like, oh, she was pretty cool. You're all right. You're all right. You know, you're dating a few other girls, but like, that's okay.
I think
like what?
Yeah. I think the one that would scare me the most is the one who disagrees with the entire process. You know what I'm saying? Like I'd rather have the guy who's mad.
Where you I don't trust any man it.
Kind of guy, or the nice guy, or even the standoffish guy. But the guy who's just like, I don't even understand why you even went on this show. Like, why are you doing this? This can't be real. This is a joke. Like, you know, the person that's just like belittling the whole thing and then is like distrusting the daughter or the husband, you know, or the son, and distrusting the bachelorette. So, and then just kind of whole time they're looking at you with disappointment and they're kind of judging you, Becca's both of you. Dad, and they're both Becca's just like, you're so pathetic. Like, I think that would be the like really intimidating one. Cause I'm kind of like, we're starting off with them like not liking my existence, as opposed to just like, prove to me you're good for my daughter. It's like, no, this whole process I disagree with, so therefore you're already in the doghouse. I think that'd be tough.
Becca's dad, when I was talking to her family about it, like if they were going to go to hometowns, he was like, no, I wasn't going to be there. He was just straight up like, I don't respect a single aspect of this show, so much so to the point that even if she's coming to hometowns, I won't be there for it. And Allison was like, he's not like, we literally like, we had to have a talk about it. And she was like, it was going to be me and your grandma and like, you know, this other person. And her dad was just going to be like straight up, like absolutely not participating.
See, that would be very intimidating to me. And it's funny you say that, because I met Becca's dad the other day.
What did you meet?
At the birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that dude is very intimidating.
That's what I'm talking about.
Your dad is like, so nice. He comes up to me, he's just like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And he's gonna, by the way, your dad's so cool looking too. He's just like, cool glasses on. Aww. He's got like a cool like hat on. Like, I'm like, who's the fucking like rock star? Like, who invited the famous like musician?
Dude, he literally looks like a
famous like musician who like lives in Malibu now. Like, that's what he looks like.
He's
never
wearing like old Stetson hats. Dude,
he's like
and
Stetson
like
hats. He has like cool black glasses on. He's got some cool outfit on, and then he has like a scarf. Like, he looks just like the guy that you would assume
he
is
looks
like
an old like 60s rock and roll.
Yeah, he looks like a guy who like lives in Malibu in some mansion and like has hits.
Yeah, that's
Becca's
definitely
dad
his MO.
Is like so intimidating. And I was just like, so I would imagine if I was like meeting him, I would definitely be like, okay.
Oh, dude, whenever I'm having, this is like still where it's like, I still don't know where I sit.
No, I totally see that. Time, I don't think you ever will.
No, dude, I mean, my favorite. So, oh my God, I'm so glad you brought up these stories, because we had, dude, the best part of Ruth's birthday was we had Anna and Elsa impersonators. The Anna impersonator was like, oh, where's your bathroom? I need to go use the bathroom. She comes up to like, I'm talking with one of Becca's like childhood best friends.
Okay.
And her mom. And we're like, oh, it's over here. Yeah. And she goes in, and Becca's mom just goes, oh, I'm going to be, she goes, I'll be right back. She goes, I need to go inside and make sure that she's not stealing anything. I was like, are you serious? And she goes, oh yes. She goes, I'm gonna go sit on the couch the entire time she's in the bathroom and make sure she's not going through anyone's purse. We were like, what the fuck? Like, that shit blew my mind.
Right.
And then I was teasing her about
That's a very intimidating statement in general.
I was just like, dude, like, she's not, like, what are you talking
I mean,
about?
She could be, that's an interesting
But then
take.
She comes out and she goes, well, no, she goes, girlfriend of ours. She goes, her daughter went to a bachelor party. She goes, they hired a male stripper. And she goes,
I like how they're a male stripper and Anna is the same.
Dude, but this is also like, of course, Christian. Like,
yeah, right. It's like, this is what you get. Allison, this is what you get.
Why are you telling me about your friends, my girlfriends, who seem all out of control? They're not hiring male strippers for their parties. But so anyway, she's telling me about it. And she goes, well, they go, yo, you can change in this room. Happens to be the room all the women put their purses down in. Mm. He never came out of the room. He went through everyone's purse, stole everything of value, and busted out the window and just left the party. So she was like, oh, this person's coming in here. They're going to use the bathroom. She's like, I'm definitely walking through and I'm going to sit. She literally sat on the living room couch till she left and followed her outside.
Oh.
And I was dying over that. I thought that was my highlight.
That's the highlight
of the kids' party.
Wow.
Personally.
I love that. Yeah. So to bring it around, though, it's like, there's no, it's funny you bring up her dad, because it's like, he would intimidate the shit out of me.
So yeah.
Like, but that's what I'm saying. You said that he was like that about me. The thing. It was like, that's the guy that would be most intimidating. Not the guy that's either mad at me or cool with me or quiet. It's the guy that kind of just goes, this whole thing, I disagree with. Well, terrifying. No, so
this is her dad. Her dad will ask you a question about like, Evan, hey, so Evan, like, you work in music. What do you do with that? And then you'll tell him, right. You'll tell him, and he'll go like this while you're talking. And he'll look off.
Like you're like, sorry, it isn't important. It isn't important.
Five seconds into it, you lost him. He goes, uh-huh. And then you finish and he'll just go, yeah, okay.
Like, you didn't pass the test.
And then he'll just sit there.
He's okay with just like sitting in the awkward silence. And he'll just
go like,
That's terrifying. You, I'm sweating. You just talking like
he
this.
Doesn't give a fuck about right. you. Right. That's everything he's telling you. And you're just like, I don't know what to do. Because then you'll start like nervously, just like gushing information.
And then you make yourself look like an idiot. He's like, anyway, did you hear about the thing the other day?
And he's doesn't like, care. He literally doesn't need to
fill that space, because he fills it with his presence.
Nothing more intimidating to me than that attitude of like, he doesn't care to make conversation with you. If he's not interested, he's not talking to you.
But he's not going to force it.
No.
And so then you look like a bumbling fool.
No. And what
you're trying to fill the air.
All he cares about, like, which is really funny, which I really respect, is like, he's just like, all he wants is like honesty and like actual presence.
Okay.
So it's like, he doesn't want you to agree with him. He doesn't necessarily even need to agree with you.
He's not looking for bullshit.
He's just like, don't try to like gas him up. Don't try to like present yourself in some way that's like not really who you are. All this kind of, and it's like, you know, he's got mad respect if you're just like
blatantly honest.
Yeah. And you're just also like stand, like, you know, he cares about like your actions and like, you know, sense of right or wrong and responsibility and those things. That means way more to him than anything else. But like, just getting to know you through like conversation is like not. He'd rather be like, let's go do some physical challenges.
Mm.
So he's really into it. It's hilarious. But that's, I find that, dude, that's where like these dads come on. It's like the most intimidating thing is just the dismissiveness.
Be
like, I don't actually fucking care what you have to say.
So then who do you think had the best date or the best hometown?
Honestly.
Because Serene got kicked off, so we knew, and we could sense that.
Which bummed me out, though, because I really liked her brother.
Yeah, I really liked the brother, but we could sense with him and her that, like, I think she's amazing, but I never felt the chemistry there.
Do you feel bachelorette it?
Yeah, maybe, honestly. Yeah. Like, maybe she's bachelorette, 100%. She's sweet, she's hilarious, she is, like, great personality. I just felt like the only thing missing was like their connection. Like, it just never felt there.
I never understood it. And she is, of course, the one who we were saying last week too, is like, where the fuck did the I'm falling in love with you come from?
And then she goes, I was falling in love with you and now I love you.
Oh yeah.
And then it was just, like, he just goes like, thanks. Yeah. You know, so you just tell it wasn't there.
I'd say my two favorite dates were probably Gabby's got me a little emotional.
She's got like this likable charm.
That you I can't loved teach. Her grandpa.
Yeah, she's he's just kind of like, oh yeah, Gabby's been a dingbat since the day we met her. Like they just kind of mocking, they're having fun, like you know.
But then they're talking about like the emotional side of her and when her dad showed up, which I didn't fully understand. They kind of went over my head a little bit, like why her dad. He has a medical condition.
No, his girlfriend has medical problems, so they had to be super super careful about COVID. So because she was out with all those people and doing things, he was like, I can't be exposed to anything because I could bring it back.
Understood.
Oh, she had cancer.
That's why.
So she had cancer.
That's
and
why
so
he had the cards.
He was like, I can't be hanging out with you or be around anybody because I could bring COVID back to my.
I thought that whole section was really sweet in terms of like hometowns is really about showing that familial relationships. I thought theirs was really, really strong. I also is it Rachel's the Florida pilot?
Yeah.
I thought her date of all of them, that is like the being in the Florida Everglades is one of my biggest fears in life.
Just
actually
animals that can kill you and like
the entire place wants to kill you.
Right.
Like they're literally showing gators just by them. The size of that fucking spider.
Yes.
What is that spider? Why is that spider even there?
It's not even
real. It doesn't even seem like it fits there.
It's like Disneyland.
There's water moccasins and all kinds of other there's pythons. Giant like pythons and boas and stuff
it's
like that
Jumanji.
Just live out there. It's literally it is a Jurassic World. Like when you were going through there, like they're on the set of Jurassic Park.
Yes, 100%.
Except that's just Florida, where the most psychopathic people in the entire United States all live. Where it's like when you see it on camera, you're like, it's a beautiful paradise. The moment like you step into it in reality, you're like, why is it blisteringly hot and wet
and
all at the same
time?
Kill
me.
There's bugs the size of my fist and I have like big hands and literally everything wants to kill you, including the people.
Yeah.
Everyone's just fucking crazy. I'm just like, I don't like it. I don't like it. And they're in a see-through boat, except theirs was also, it was highly erotic.
They were just like, I felt like the sex was about to happen and they cut away from it every time they almost had sex.
God. When she greets him,
she's
and
like
it was
grabbing
just like,
his
she's
head
like,
and
I
his
missed
neck.
You. And I was like, man, dude, I want whatever is like,
I want some of that.
Whatever. I want to like go into like when we're starting a new couples therapist.
Yeah.
I want to just show that and be like, I want to have at the end of this, this is goals. This is how I want to be greeted.
Dude,
when
she
I
want to like,
hood you and I want to be like, oh, I missed you and
dude,
fingers in my hair.
She was eating him alive. She's one of the creatures.
Instead,
eating him alive.
Instead, mine is I walk in home. She's like, can you get dinner going? Can you get dinner going? I want hoojus when I come home. You know what I'm talking about?
Hoojus are dope.
Hoojus are dope.
No, running,
I wouldn't even mind giving a hooju. I like that she tried to reverse that.
Let's do a hooju. Like, doesn't have to be.
Let's next time we do all of us in, let's do a hooju comp between Beck and Jessa. I mean, you like that?
Becca Jessa?
Beck and Jessa.
You kind of switched their names into each other.
Yeah.
It's Beck.
It's my dyslexia. It's
like, I like that. It's cool.
Becca, chatty broads with Becca and Jessa.
With Beck and Jessa. And Evanston. And
we're
and
Dak.
Grevin.
And we're Dak with Becca, Jessa, and Gavin and Enston.
You just start sounding like your kids.
And we're gonna kill you and eat you.
I mean Susie to me it's tough because it's like Rachel is the sex, like they have the crazy sexual chemistry. Gabby's like the fun. I think Gabby's really hilarious, like she's really funny. I think that she's got a likability that you just can't. She's got just a funny,
her and Susie are on
they
the
laugh
same.
It's really fun. It's really like she's making jokes. She's like giving him a hard time. But my feel is like Susie's the wife.
Susie's so safe.
So safe and just so like classic,
although,
probably what he's used
but
to.
But she also has enough pepper and spice. Like when,
sure.
Dude, her thing when she takes him to the judo class,
mm-hmm.
which she's a blue belt in. So
by the way,
like,
what's
she's
a jiu-jitsu professor? That was a little weird. I was
that
like,
was
like,
super weird. That was some like weird Midwest.
That was like, shit. Dude, there's like
professor
there's, like,
of jiu-jitsu.
There's like black belt
no,
guys
dude.
Who teach, but a professor, like he went to school. Like, I don't know. It just felt weird.
No, you're.
And by
just,
the way, the guy wasn't like Brazilian, so I also was kind of like, okay, how can you trust
well,
this guy? Like,
Brazilian jiu jitsu. Schooled in it. He'd probably whoop our ass.
But it still felt a little. Yeah, it was very. But it was very.
There's
weird.
This side where like Susie has that like sort of like prom queen or like whatever.
That's
kind
what
of,
I
like,
mean.
The thing.
Like but, he's so prom king.
But
vibes.
Then she does the whole like she's like I said today's date was going to be about finding out whether or not Clayton liked to be choked.
She kind of threw and the sexual goes, vibe out there. Yeah,
and he does. And you're like, yo, oh, what's up with that?
She
Susie?
Seems a little,
schmokey, schmokey.
She seems a little very conservative, but then all of a sudden she'll throw out some stuff.
She's like, you choke Clayton?
Okay.
You're like, what's up?
Susie with the spice?
Yeah.
Susie with
Where'd
the spice.
Where'd that come from? So I think there's like, Susie's the onion where I'm like, I don't.
Oh, you've seen layers.
Yeah, it's not all out there. I thought one of the more interesting moments in this whole thing was actually Rachel's friend.
Yeah, yeah,
who
yeah.
was like, where do you think you fall though in those other girls yes. with fantasy suites?
Yeah.
And he nailed it where he's like, girl, like it was the sort of like, who, where do you think you fall in this?
Like that's the real talk.
That's the real talk of like relationship wise. Like he's taken someone to fantasy suites just to get it on. You don't want to be that girl.
Also, the parents are always out of it, right? They're always old. They've seen like a couple episodes of the show and they're like, oh, cool. But they're not aware of the dynamic. Her friend was like, I've seen a lot of this. I know the dynamics. This is a defining moment. Where do you think you fall on the sexual ladder? And it was like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah, they're like, no, that's a...
Yeah, this is a really specific question.
That's a question.
That like can really... In a question that they've all thought of, but like they don't want to talk about.
I was really hoping that he would do a one-on-one with Clayton as the best friend and just grill
and
his
like,
ass.
And be like, I'm super nice, but I'm not going to let you off because I actually know how this works.
It's still guys.
Yeah.
Just be like, I know exactly how you're thinking
about
this.
I know what
you're
doing.
Yeah. I want that conversation.
Because I'm also feeling a little bit like, you know, Clayton is playing Mr. like Knight in Shining Armor. But I'm also kind of feeling like, I think this guy's kind of a player.
Well, we're not feeling it. We know it. Clayton breaks the rules and he sleeps.
Right. But I'm just saying, even aside from that.
Well, I guess he doesn't.
I'm getting player vibes.
They made it seem like he was sleeping with them before fantasy suites. But it's obvious now he slept with multiple people during fantasy suites.
Oh, my God. Which is what everyone else does.
That's what the whole point of the show is, Clayton.
Yeah, that's kind of a, if that's actually what happens, where it's just fantasy suites.
That's a Clayton.
Clayton in Toronto. But like that's a little, if that's just what it is, I'm gonna be a little pissed because I'm gonna be like, you guys let us on that like they had been sleeping together like throughout the show and then like he revealed it, like versus like I did what everyone does. Like, what?
Yeah,
it's like the whole point of the show. Like
he's like, I slept with a couple of you, and afterwards I also told you guys that I loved you.
Sorry.
And then he's just like rolling on the ground. And he's like, I'm broken.
I do like that. I'm broken. I can't wait for that episode. Also, they previewed at the very end, they previewed the women tell all. Which is just going to be lit.
What is that? Is that next episode? Please tell me that's next episode.
But it's heating up, dude. I think the next couple.
I can't wait. I'm coming back.
Someone's going to come back, though. Like, someone's going to elevate to just...
I hope that Cassidy walks in with a Bane mask.
She's going to be... Oh, I hope that...
Like she catches wind of our impression.
I'm thinking someone's going to be in, like, full Vader, and you're just going to have, like, choke. Someone's going to get, like, choked out from across the room.
Dude, now you're just like, crossing your fantasies into
this
show.
And you're just going to be, like... You're going to see, like, one of the girls, like... and she can't breathe. She's be like collapsing on the ground, and you'll just see her come in from across the room, just like.
And Shanae's just like. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun. Be like, that'd be so sick.
I'm excited though. Like the next like 3 weeks, right, with the tell-alls and everything. I think it's gonna really light up. It's gonna get popping.
I'm still waiting for people to just completely lose it. Like, lose all decorum. I want to see just a full-out fight and brawl.
Well,
I know I've focused on this, but we see it in other sports. You see it in basketball. You see it in baseball. You see it in football all the time. people get worked up and they just like abandon everything. And like the whole team's like, let's rush out of the dugout and beat the shit out of the pitcher.
Yes.
Doesn't matter that we're on TV. Doesn't matter. We're going to get fined. Doesn't matter that all our contracts like on this. I'm waiting for that tell all when it just gets so heated that they just cut and you get the like rainbow blocks of like Tetris on your screen. It's like, message from our sponsors. And well, you just like come back and everyone's disheveled.
Yeah, right.
And, like,
everyone's just bloodied.
That's what I want. That's my ultimate goal for reality TV is bringing back. I mean, reality TV used to be about just like get them
psychotic
to the point,
shit.
Dude, yeah. Road rules and all that was fighting. They was just get them drunk in the club and fight.
Where their brain breaks.
And be like, what is happening?
What's interesting about this kind of ending situation here is that I don't think I've seen in a long time three people that truly, honestly believe they're the one. And the Bachelor, Bachelorette is like not really showing a winner. Like all three of the remaining women are like very winners. Like I'm not seeing a clear forefront. Like there is like a massive connection with all three of them. They're all crazy chemistry. They're all having a blast together to the point where there's like,
that's where I want to bring back to like our previous, man, I wish we had organized, we could call these guys right now, but I want to bring up in the final, to the final rose people and be like, dude, are you going to really tell me that those girls aren't in love with him?
Right.
And that he's not actually in love with, let's have
Game of Roses on the next week or two.
I firmly believe it.
Let's call him
up. I think
up.
He'll be happy with any one of them. Yes, I think what's actually going to be the hardest for Clayton is to be happy with whoever he chooses.
That's why I agree.
And not have remorse over the decision of letting the other ones go.
He's going to have to be struggling the most because of the torn. Like he's going to be like, man, each one has something I like that like beats out the other one and I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I agree.
We'll call him. We'll have him on next week.
Yeah, next week or the week after, depending on like what breaks out. But I completely agree. I think it's like, he's going to be like, I honestly do not know what to do.
Yeah.
And then he's going to suggest they all move in together.
That would be sick. He's gonna be like, let's do the first polyamorous.
They should do a polyamorous, the first one where they all move in together, and then that's the new show.
Speaking of polyamory, do we want to, aside from Game of Roses, do we want to reach out to my friend who's polyamorous and have him on the show?
I'm down.
Let's find out what this is like.
I'm down. Super right. down.
He has a really positive perspective on it, by the way.
I love it. I want to hear about it.
I know. We may not, depending on how the episode goes, we might not let the girls listen to it, or that conversation is going to all come back.
They're going to use it?
Because that hasn't been talked about in a while, and I'm not too mad about it.
Like, maybe we should leave it off the books?
Yeah, maybe. But we should see. He's a wild card.
I love it. I love wild cards. Well, we love you guys.
Thank you so much.
We will see you next week, and the season's
heating
up. Should
we do one? Sorry, I don't mean to. Just one. Maybe one plug?
Yeah, let's do it real quick.
One plug. That's what we call it. One plug. One plug. One plug. How's that song go? One love.
Oh, dog thing.
Doggies. Ooh, doggies. You ready for this one?
Let's do it. It says,
I got in there.
North Star Hounds.
Here's a little treat what for you, Evan.
What is this? Aww.
Get out of here.
Oh, it's for... They're like bibs or like little scarves for dogs.
Oh. And they're tiny ones that they could fit on our children. Oh yeah, that's for Ashley. This could go on our kitties. Technically, the small ones work for cats too. Oh, it's what it says in there. Oh wait, wow, this is very confusing. She wrote on this side and then it goes onto this side.
Oh, whoa.
Hello.
Right to left.
Hello. Hello. That's what it says. I love, love, love listening to you guys and the ladies. Shout out broads every week. Thank you so much for sharing. Plug something. I run North Star Hands. Is that what it is? North Star Hands?
Hounds?
A dog bandana. Oh,
sorry.
I can't tell. Like sometimes, here, you know, if you screw up an N or a U, like the...
Hounds. Like, North Star Hounds.
But yeah, but look at... She missed the curve.
Oh.
Look at where my
finger is.
Unless
you printed it wrong on the...
Zoom in on your YouTube, you guys. Can you see that? A dog bandana company out of St. Paul, Minnesota. Sharing some of my favorite patterns for Boris. Boris CI.
Boris? What else?
I'm confused. Why is that? What's that CI after Boris?
Oh, no. parentheses, I also have a giant dog, two Newfoundlands, plus Ashley, and then Gray. Technically, these small ones are for cats, too. You can find me at northstarhounds.com. IG is at northstarhounds. Love you and can't wait for your soon-to-be weekly episodes. Oh, because she sent this a while ago. Sorry, we're just finally getting this.
Sorry.
All of our products are shipped in recyclable boxes or compostable?
Yes, that's how you say it.
Compostable bags. Wow, thank you.
That's how you say
Definitely
it.
Definitely going to rock this. I'm going to put Boris in the beer one.
Fucking earth killer. You don't even know how to say compostable.
I was like compostable. No, compostable.
You fronter.
Sweet. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. We'll definitely use this.
How far into this treat do you think Ember would get before she realizes it's a dog treat?
Quick. She's very like, it's more me. Me would be the problem if that was set out.
Frank?
Eat the whole thing, no problem.
Well, we love you guys. This peanut butter banana, dude.
I mean, it's going to be delicious. If it's homemade, organic oats, it's just basically
all
just
natural
food.
Peanut. Let's just go for it. Let's go for it on here. This is what's going to get people to watch. This is how we get people to watch.
We love you guys. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
A little cheers for the Let's road out.
Cheers. Dog treats. Cheers. Treat.
Dog treats. Out. It's just lacking sugar.
Dogs will love it.
It's delicious.
It's like a biscuit. This is what I imagine like sailors in like the 1800s to eat.
Chat soon.